యశోదానందన భజన నరంజన యశోదానందన భజన నరంజన యమున తీరావన చారి యమున తీరావన చారి జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ విహారి జయ గోపి జన గిరివర ధారి యశోదానందన బ్రజన రంజన యశోదానందన బ్రజన రంజన యమున తీరావన చారి యమున తీరావన చారి జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ విహారి జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ విహారి జయ పాద మహంస పరిభుజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమద్ హిజ్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసి భక్తి విదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కి సమవేత భక్తవింద కి గౌర ప్రేమానందే ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇతి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవింద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సో థ్యాంక్ యూ ఆల్ ఫర్ కమింగ్ టుడే ఐ వాంట్ థ్యాంక్ ద టెంపుల్ మేనేజ్మెంట్ ముఖ్య మాతాజీ కేశవ ప్రభు ఫర్ దిస్ opportunity to serve Shri Krishna and his devotees. Today I chose this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a scripture that's one of the key scriptures for the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas are those who worship Lord Vishnu or Shri Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are the main scriptures, and for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Chaitanya Charitamrita as well. Now the verse that we have today has been chosen because I was asked to speak on Janmashtami, since we just celebrated that on Wednesday, and a lot of the people here today are here for Janmashtami. So Janmashtami, as you know, is when we celebrate the birth of Lord Krishna, Lord Shri Krishna. And this verse that I've chosen, 10.2.16, is the first of a series of events that take place during the birth of Shri Krishna. Okay. So I'll recite the verse. Please recite after me. Bhagavan api vishvatma bhaktanam abhayankaraha avishesha amshabhagena mana anakadundubhe. Bhagavan api vishvatma bhaktanam abhayankaraha avisheshansha bhagena mana anakadundubhe. Bhagavan api vishvatma bhaktanam abhayankaraha avisheshansha bhagena mana anakadundube. Bhagavan api vishvatma bhaktanam abhayankaraha avisheshansha bhagena mana anakadundube. Prabhus, somebody wants to recite. Bhagavan api vishvatma bhaktanabhyankara avisheshamsha bhagena mana anakadundube. Bhagavan api vishvatma bhaktanabhyankara Mataji. Bhagavan api vishvatma bhaktanam abhayankaraha avisheshamsha bhagena mana anakadundube. So the translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul of all living entities and who vanquishes all the fear of His devotees, entered the mind of Vasudev in full opulence. Purport: the word Vishvatma refers to one who is situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddeshe arjuna tishtati. Another meaning of Vishvatma is the only lovable object for everyone. Because of forgetfulness of this object, people are suffering in this material world. But if one fortunately revives his old consciousness of loving Krishna and connects with Vishvatma, one becomes perfect. The Lord is described in the third canto, 3.2.15, as follows: Paravaresho mahadansha yukto hi ajopi jato bhagavan. Although unborn, the Lord, the master of everything, appears like a born child by entering the mind of a devotee. The Lord is already there within the mind, and consequently it is not astonishing for him to appear as if born from a devotee's body. The word avishesha signifies the Lord appeared within the mind of Vasudev. There was no need for discharge of semen. That is the opinion of Shripad Sridhar Swami and Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. In the Vaishnava Toshani, Srila Sanatana Goswami says that consciousness was awakened within the mind of Vasudev. Srila Viradaghava Acharya also says that Vasudev was one of the demigods and that within his mind the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as an awakening of consciousness. Om Adnyanata Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I chose this verse because I wanted to highlight the differences between the birth of Shri Krishna and us. So let's first see how we are born. Everybody here has a birthday, everybody remembers their birthday, but nobody remembers being born. Okay, I don't remember at least. So the process of birth is typically the birth of the body, of our body. And the way the body forms is, as the biologist would explain, the female gamete, the ovum, combines with the male gamete, the sperm, forms the zygote, which is one cell. DNA from one parent, DNA from the other parent comes together in one cell. That zygote then undergoes multiple cell divisions, forms this big blastocyst, as it's called, that attaches to the inner lining of the mother's womb. And then part of the embryo, as it develops, as the cells multiply, becomes the head, part of it becomes the legs, part of it becomes the hands. And what determines that is the presence of external chemical signals that tell part of the embryo to become the head and so on. This is the understanding we have in science of how the body develops in the embryo of the mother and then is born, the appearance of the body from the mother's womb. So cells, DNA, all this is material, isn't it? That's made of matter. Carbon, hydrogen, sulfur, oxygen, phosphorus, all these nitrogen elements in the body are material, they're matter. Now Sri Krishna is not matter. His body doesn't have cells in it. His body doesn't have DNA, doesn't have any carbon, doesn't have any water, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus. All this material stuff is not present in the body of God. So Sri Krishna is spiritual, pure spirit. And when he descends, the word avatar is descending into this world. When Krishna descends into this world, he doesn't descend in a material form. He has no reason to. He actually descends in a spiritual form. And so naturally the process of birth of somebody like Sri Krishna is not a material process. As Prabhupada is pointing out in this purport, there is no material process that's actually leading to conception, then development of Sri Krishna in the womb, and then birth. That's not how it is working. And so this verse is trying to explain, and then the following verses, what happens. And what happens is that Sri Krishna enters the mind. Anybody here knows how to enter the mind of somebody else? So he enters the mind of his devotee, Vasudev. And then from Vasudev's mind, he transfers himself into the mind of Devaki. And it is described that when Krishna is in the mind of Vasudev, Vasudev becomes bright as the sun. So this is God being born. This is God appearing. It's not an ordinary event. It's a fantastic event, actually. It's an unbelievable thing that God, who is the creator, the source of all the universes, everything that we know, the atoms in our body, is appearing on this earth amidst us. Well, we are not present, unfortunately, but amidst people like us. So when Krishna appears, he is appearing as spirit. He enters into the mind of Sri Vasudev, his father, who he chose. I don't remember choosing my parents. I don't remember signing up on a form. Okay, these are the parents I want. This is the nationality. This is the kind of wealth that my parents should have. Facilities, education and all that. No, I don't remember choosing. But Krishna chose his parents, as he explains. So anyway, coming back to this point, so he enters the mind of Vasudev, and then when Vasudev holds him in his mind, he shines like the sun. It's described in subsequent verses. He's so dazzling, so brilliant, that nobody can see him. No living entity, okay, can actually see him. He's so dazzling and bright. Naturally, God's in him. And then he's transferred into the mind of Devaki, and then Devaki undergoes the same transformation. Suddenly now you can't see Devaki. She's supremely happy. Kamsa, who is imprisoned, the parents of Krishna, comes to see and watches Devaki smiling, happy, and just radiating, effulgent, and he's afraid. Just seeing her, he's afraid for his life. So that's the effect that Krishna, when he's present in the mother's mind, has. And then once he's in the mind, then he goes to the womb, and then he's born. When he's born, he's not born like most kids, or any kid, actually. He's born with his full opulence. And so I wanted to come back to this verse here, and we'll go word by word if we have time. The Sanskrit language is so amazing that each word can be unpacked into books. So this word Bhagavan, Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, would use the word Bhagavan to define God. you would say, this is the definition of God. Somebody asks you, what is God, or who is God, or how do we recognize God? You know, there is this test in chemistry called the litmus test. We have this litmus paper, we put it in acid, it changes colors. So we know that that solution is acid, acidic. So similarly, the word Bhagavan can be used, if one understands the meaning, as a litmus test to check anybody's claim of being God. So Bhagavan, the Sanskrit word, bhaga, the root is bhaga, which means fortune. So for the people who are used to hearing the word bhagya, bhagyavan, fortunate. So bhagya comes from bhaga, bhaga is fortune. Bhagavan, van means the one who possesses. So Bhagavan is the one who possesses all opulences. Okay, opulences, the Vishnu Puran explains, Parashar Muni, the father of Srila Vyasadeva, he explains this verse. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasah shriyaha jnana vairagyayoshchaiva shannam bhagat itingana. So these six opulences that Bhagavan possesses, that's why he's Bhagavan. What are the opulences? Aishwaryasya, wealth. Aishwarya says samagrasi, all wealth. So Krishna, God, is the source of everything in the world, and naturally everything is his property. Can we honestly say that any of the money in our bank is ours? Any of the cars we drive, any of the houses we live in? Can we honestly say that? Maybe we can say it. But then if you analyze it, we'll realize that all these are material, and they're made of atoms and electrons and quarks, neutrinos, strings, according to string theories. And none of the scientists, none of the material scientists, the most smart Nobel laureate possible, can claim that he has created one electron from nothing. So we don't own anything, really. It's an illusion that we own anything. Prabhupada used to say, you should find out who is the proprietor of everything in this world. Who is the proprietor? Are we the proprietor? Can we honestly say we created anything? No. Money exchanges hands, but it's already there. The atoms are already there. So, Bhagavan is the true proprietor. He is the wealthiest because everything belongs to him and nothing belongs to us. So we are the poorest actually. So anybody says it's God, will show me that you are the wealthiest. Create something from nothing. So Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya, the strength. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Gama Vishyacha Bhutani Dhayami Aham Ojasa. Gama means planet. Krishna has entered the planets and is sustaining the universe. He's sustaining the planets in their orbits. So that strength. People in this world, you know, they are strong. We have bodybuilders. But is anybody strong enough to lift a planet or sustain it, keep it floating in the air, as Prabhupada would say? No. Aishwarya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasaha Fame. The Bhagavad Gita is famous. The Bhagavatam is famous. For not a year, 2 years, a decade, a century, but thousands of years. The Bhagavad Gita is 5,000 years old at least. And people have been studying it for 5,000 years, for so long. So Bhagavad Gita's fame is Krishna's fame ultimately, because they're Krishna's words. Shriyaha, beauty. Krishna, the word meaning of Krishna is all attractive. You can see on the altar here, he is all attractive, he's beautiful. And the devotees, when they decorate him like that, they're seeing his beauty. And they want to match it by somehow creating something beautiful in his service. So, Yashasaha Shriyaha. So, also in the Bhagavad Gita, there is this verse in the 10th chapter where Krishna explains Yad Yad Libhati Mat Sattvam Srimad Urjitam Eva Vatat Tat Eva Vagachatvam Mamateja Shasambhavam. Whatever beautiful, opulent, magnificent you see in this world, anything that is beautiful, it's all just a spark of my splendor. Mama tejamsha sambhavam, spark of my splendor. So anything beautiful in this world is ultimately because Krishna is all beautiful. And then jnana vairagya yoshchaiva, he's got all the knowledge that anybody ever can hope to possess because he's the source of everything. He's the source of all the theory of relativity and everything else. So of course naturally he has all the knowledge. And then renunciation is a little bit difficult to explain here, but the idea is that Shri Krishna has these differentiated energies under which this whole world is working. Parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate swabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. But he has nothing to do. He doesn't really do anything. He's deputed people who will take care of the material affairs of this universe. So he's aloof. He's aloof from the material existence, and therefore he is the most renounced. So this is the meaning of Bhagavan. Prabhupada used to say, if somebody says, I'm God, which happens in India a lot, I don't think it happens here so much in the US, in the West, but in India there is a lot of gods running around. So Prabhupada would say that, okay, if you're God, but the next day you have a toothache, then you're not God. You can't have a toothache and then claim that you're God. So, this is the definition, Bhagavan. And that's why it is being said, Bhagavan Api Vishvatma. The word Bhagavan has been used in this verse to explain that that person is coming into the mind of Devaki with all his opulences. Right? The whole thing, all the six opulences are with him when he enters the mind of Devaki. And then there is this word Vishvatma, Bhagavan Api Vishvatma. Vishvatma, Vishvam is the universe, Atma is the soul. Vishvatma is the soul of the universe. So Krishna explains that he expands himself as Paramatma and he is present in everybody's heart. Sarvasya cha aham hridi sannivishto mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. He is present in the heart of every living entity. It might be bugs, parasites, worms, trees, living entities in the Vedic view. Includes everything. It's not just that human beings have a soul, but everything, every living being, including microbes and amoeba, have a soul. But in each of these organisms, Shri Krishna is also present as Paramatma. And what is he doing there? Upadrashta Anumanta cha. He is the witness of what we are doing. Anumanta, and he is the permission giver. So actually everything that we are doing is under the control of Shri Krishna. In his form as Paramatma, Shirodakshaya Vishnu. He's also entered the atoms, everything. He's entered everything in this world. Nothing is free of Krishna in everything we see. Okay, so that Vishvatma, that person who is the super soul, who is already present in Devaki's heart, he's already there in everybody's heart. But he enters, but the source of Vishvatma, Krishna, the original source of Vishvatma, is entering the mind of Devaki. That's been described. And then, Bhaktanam Abhayamkaraha, I'll come back to that at the end. Avishesha Ansha Bhagena. Avishesha is explaining that Krishna is independent fully. He's not under anybody's control, like us. He chooses Avishesha, he enters on his own. Amsha Bhagena. Ansha is portion, part. Ansha Bhagena means with all his, what Prabhupada calls plenary portions. He enters with all his plenary portions. So, what does that mean? I'm sure everybody here has heard of the Dasha avatars, you know, the Leela avatars, and then there are also the Purusha avatars, there are the Guna avatars, the Yuga avatars, there are all kinds of avatars that Krishna basically expands into for various purposes, okay? So, these are the parts of Krishna. Krishna is the original, and then all these are parts of him. So there is a verse in the first canto in Bhagavatam which says, Ete cha amshakala punsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam. So this verse, before that, all these different avatars, Ram, Narsingadev, Varahadev, Kapiladev, all these avatars have been described, Kurma avatar, and then after they have been described in detail, the next verse is, Ete cha, all these are Anchakala. These are portions of Krishna, parts of Krishna, or parts of parts of Krishna. Anchakala Kamsa. But Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is himself the original Bhagavan. Again, the word Bhagavan comes. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So when Krishna entered the mind of Devaki, he entered with all his expansions. They're all in him, contained in him. And he enters. Mana Anakadundubhe. So he enters the mind of Anakadundubhi, who is Vasudev. Vasudeva is the father of Krishna, and the reason he's called Anakadundubhi is because when he was being born, when Vasudeva was being born, all the demigods showered flowers, the celestials showered praise, flowers, and then played music. And so Anakadundubhi, Anakadundubhi, these are musical instruments. And so his name became Anakadundubhi because when he was born, this music was playing. So this is the word by word meaning of this verse. And then in the time we have left, I want to turn to us, our birth. So we explained Krishna's birth here. Krishna is fully independent. He came into the mind of Vasudev. Oh, by the way, I forgot this part. Bhaktanam abhayam karaha. He came, Prabhupada translates this, always killing the causes of fear in the mind of his devotees. Bhaktanam abhayam karaha. So why does Krishna come? So far we described the how. We discussed the how. But why does he come? So he comes, and there are many verses in the Bhagavad Gita also that explain why he comes. And one of the reasons given here is to remove the fear, all causes of fear for his devotees. Abhayam karaha. And we see this in a practical way in the lives of devotees. So Srila Prabhupada, for example, the founder Acharya, he, at the age of 70, traveled from Vrindavan to the United States of America on the order of his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Imagine the age of 70, that's most people, actually most everybody would be planning for retirement or already retired into the villages, has a nice condo there, and planning to live a comfortable life playing golf or watching TV or whatever it is. But Prabhupada took this risk, this tremendous inconvenience, going on a ship for 35 days, two heart attacks on the way, came to the United States, stayed in New York City, where he was surrounded by, basically living in some kind of a ghetto. His roommate tried to kill him, once pulled a knife on him and tried to kill him. The drug-crazed addict, basically. And then many devotees, that became disciples of Prabhupada, faced a lot of difficulties like this. Difficulties to, just basically fearing for safety, for their own safety. But they never bothered about that. They continued on with the movement, preaching in various lands, taking great risks, great personal risks, great inconveniences. And so this is Bhaktanam Abhayam Karaha. When one is connected with Krishna, then fear tends to dissolve and the goal becomes carrying out the spiritual master's vision, his orders, obeying his orders. And so this is what is being explained here. When Krishna comes, he is taking away the fear of Devaki and Vasudev, who are really afraid of Kamsa killing their eighth child. And so I wanted now to turn, in the time left, we don't have a lot of time, to why we are born in this world. So Krishna is born, has come of his own accord, chosen his parents to come take away the fear of his devotees. He is God. Why are we born? Maybe we have some participation here. Anybody has any suggestions? Any potential answers? Why are we born in this world?
We wanted to enjoy like Krishna, kind of based on envy.
Thank you. So we wanted to enjoy like Krishna, and we are envious of Krishna. Any other answers?
Because of our past karma.
Can somebody raise your hand so I can see who's... Yes. Yes, answer.
Because of our past
karma. Past karma. Because of our past karma. To purify our soul. Mm-hmm. Yes. To serve Krishna. To serve, understand, and love Krishna. Anything else? So, all these answers are correct, of course. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita which explains the reason for the birth. Purushaha, for our birth. Purushaha prakrutisthohi bhunkte prakruti jnan gunan karanam gunasangosya sat asat yunijanmasu. We want to enjoy independently of Krishna. We enjoy the modes of material nature. We enjoy the material world. And then, based on our association with the material modes, we take birth in various species and meet good and evil in those species. Whatever good and evil is happening, karma, the law of karma applies. So the Bhagavad Gita doesn't take a very positive view of the process of birth for us. The janma is the Sanskrit word for birth. And janma is not something we want. Okay. జన్మ మృత్యు జరా వ్యాధి దుఃఖ దోష నిదర్శనం. దుఃఖ, యు నో, వన్ షుడ్ వన్ హూ హ్యాస్ ది ఐస్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ సీస్ ద ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ బర్త్, జన్మ మృత్యు డెత్ జరా ఓల్డ్ ఏజ్ అండ్ డిజీజ్ వ్యాధి దుఃఖ దోషానుదర్శనం. యూ షుడ్ సీ ది ఐస్ నాలెడ్జ్ దట్ దీస్ ఫోర్ థింగ్స్ ఆర్ కాజెస్ ఆఫ్ మిజరీ. వి సెలబ్రేట్ అవర్ బర్త్డేస్, బట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ లైక్ సెలబ్రేటింగ్ ద ఫస్ట్ డే వి ఎంటర్ జైల్. డస్ మేక్ ఎనీ సెన్స్? Not everybody should celebrate their birthday as they see fit, but I'm just explaining to you the view of the Bhagavad Gita. And so then what do we do? What is the reason for misery? Ichha dvesha samutthena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sargeyanti parantapa. When we take birth, we are born into illusion because of the fact that we are bewildered by dualities of desire and hate. So basically, when we are born, we don't choose our parents, we have to go to school, we have to learn how to walk, talk, we are screaming for food, we are dependent in every way. Even when we are adults, we are dependent in every way on everything. So what is the solution? The Bhagavad Gita says, this is not something you should be looking forward to, birth, getting born again and again and again. The solution is, Krishna gives the solution in his words, జన్మ కర్మ చ మే దివ్యం ఏవం యో వేత్తి తత్పతః త్యక్త్వా దేహం పునర్జన్మ నయతి మామేతి సౌర్య. పునర్జన్మ, అగైన్ ద వర్డ్ జన్మ కమ్స్, పునర్జన్మ, అగైన్ బర్త్, రిపీటెడ్ బర్త్. ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ గెట్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్, కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్, జన్మ కర్మ చ మే దివ్యం, హియర్ అబౌట్ మై ఓన్ బర్త్. దట్ ఈస్ వన్ అదర్ రీజన్ వై హీ టేక్స్ బర్త్, సో దట్ వీ కెన్ డిస్కస్ హిస్ పాస్ టైమ్స్, ప్యూరిఫై అవర్ సెల్వ్స్ బై లిసనింగ్ టు శ్రీ కృష్ణస్ activities, leelas, pastimes. Birth is one of them. Janma, karma, pastimes. So, me divyam. But we have to not just listen to them like we would watch movie or listen to a story on the radio or, somebody tells you a story. Yeah, it's interesting. That's how I was when I heard about Janmashtami when I was growing up. And I kind of had that attitude. Oh, yeah, it's good festival. We go eat, dance, have fun, good music, go home. Janma, karma, so me divyam. Divyam, the word divyam means transcendental. That means non-material, beyond this material world. We have to understand, tatvatah, in reality, that Krishna's birth is transcendent. And when we can do that, if we do that, we are convinced of that, then, tyaktva deham, once we give up this body, punarjanma nayati, mameti, sorry, then we don't have to take birth again. So by discussing Krishna's birth, and how it is different from ours, how it is transcendental, then we can, and that's his promise, we can not have to take birth again and face the miseries of janma, mrutyu, jara, vyadhi. So that's all I have to say today. If there are any questions or comments, please let me know.
I wanted to know the difference between Bhagavan Vishnu, Bhagavan Ram, and Bhagavan Krishna.
The question was, he wants to know the difference between Bhagavan Vishnu, Bhagavan Ram, and Bhagavan Krishna. These are all Bhagavan, you refer to them as correctly. They are the Swamsha, the Swamshas of Sri Krishna. So that means they are expansions of Krishna, and they have the opulences that Krishna has, maybe a slightly less degree. Prabhupada explains 94%. Okay. But in essence, they are the same. So, Vishnu, Ram, Krishna, there's no difference. But the difference is in the bhava of the devotee. So, there's a Ram Bhakta versus a Vishnu Bhakta versus a Krishna Bhakta. The way they perceive, approach God, and they want to serve Him, the kind of relationship they want to have with Him is different. And in that sense, they're different. So Narayan, Vishnu, he's worshipped in the mode of opulence, where the worshipper is very much aware of his magnificence, his power, his greatness. So he's worshipping him in Dasya, Bhava. But when you're worshipping Krishna, Dasya is also possible. Shanta Dasya, then there's also Madhurya, there's Sakya. You can be friends with the God, you can be conjugal lover of God, you can be Vatsalya, parent of God. So these are rasas, relationships that are more, they're sweeter, you would think. You know, sweeter. So the bhava is different, but the person is the same. Krishna has expanded into these forms for various purposes, for the different. So Vishnu has certain purpose, Shri Ram had certain purpose. Does that answer your question?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. You mentioned the quality of Krishna being having a spiritual body, right, which is quite different from ours. And we hear or we read many past times where Krishna or his incarnations and avatars, they have those, we can say pastimes in terms of feeling hunger or crying and, or let's say, bleeding. So how we can understand a spiritual body having those things?
So I think to answer that question, I will use a specific example because that's a broad question. The general principle is relationships. So if Krishna is crying for milk, he's self-sufficient, Atmaram, but he wants milk, because he's savoring that relationship with Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda gets great pleasure in giving him milk, right? So this is an exchange, a loving exchange between his devotees and himself. And so for that purpose, he has his internal potency, Yoga Maya, which can cover his perception of what's going on, that he's God, and he even forgets, and then actually becomes afraid of Mother Yashoda's whipping stick, for example, in Damodar Leela. Or when he's fighting Bhishma Dev in the Mahabharata war, Bhishma Dev is shooting arrows at Krishna and he's bleeding, he's hurt and he's bleeding. Well, why is he bleeding? Well, Krishna is manifesting that, to give Bhishma Dev ecstasy as well. So that's a whole higher level of, I shouldn't have cited the example, but that's a high level of Leela. But that's the point. The main thing is that he's relishing relationships with his devotees. So then he will manifest what seem to us to be things that God wouldn't really do. Emotions that God wouldn't really display, like fear, anger. Any other questions?
So the purpose of the avatars and the leela is for the benefit of the devotees, so that each one can, if you maybe cannot appreciate him or understand him in one avatar, you may be able to understand him in another avatar and appreciate his leela and build a bond with him in that avatar. Is that the reason for the different avatars?
Well, different avatars have different purposes, right? So Lord Ram came because the demons, Raman, for example, had. And the question is, why did Krishna not come instead of Ram? Actually, I don't quite know how to answer this. Maybe somebody more qualified can answer. Why did Krishna not come in the place of Lord Ram? He did? He came in the form of Lord Ram, but she's asking, well, why not Krishna himself? Why Lord Ram? Yeah, why doesn't Krishna always come? See, I think part of, I'll just try to give you an answer, I'm not sure it's right, but I think part of the thing is that Krishna is not always required for every activity. So, when Lord Parshuram came, for example, and killed all the Kshatriya kings, Krishna is not required, Krishna is enjoying, he's always enjoying playing his flute in Vrindavan, having fun with his coward friends, enjoying that leela. The heavy task of killing the demons and everything, he's not really required to be there. So then, he expands, and these expansions don't all necessarily have all the rasas and mood and the qualities that Krishna has. And then, as you go along, the lineage, Gunavatar, then Shaktiaveshavatar, the qualities become fewer and fewer and less. But they are sufficient for that particular task, for that particular job. So Krishna doesn't have to always leave Vrindavan. But when, he descends, like in at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, he descended as Krishna. Then he was descending on the request of his devotees. specifically to that he came. So then he also came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago, again in response to a specific request by his devotees. Anybody wants to provide another answer to that?
One of the things that we all have a basic tendency that we want variety. And I'm sure God also wants variety. So he doesn't want to come Krishna every time. He wants to come as Rama or other avatars. So it's a basic, godly quality that we all want variety. We don't want to wear the same clothes over and over again. We want different clothes. We want to eat different food. So having a variety is a very common denominator. And it is that quality that comes from Bhagwan only. So Bhagwan doesn't want to come same person every time.
Yes.
Lord Ram came, he had a specific purpose, like he wanted to show that how an ideal man should be. Maryada Purushottam Ram, that's how we know him. How an ideal man and how an ideal king should be. But Lord Krishna, he's like, as you said, that he wants, he's like, he enjoys. We don't see Krishna ever with any weapons in hand. So when he comes in the Dwapara Yuga, his purpose is not that. Like, he comes to destroy demons, but it's also to, you know, have these intimate connections, like with Arjuna in the Sakya Ras, with the gopis in the Madhurya Ras. So that was, I mean, again, I'm not very sure, Prabhu, but...
Krishna in Dwarka does show what an ideal king is supposed to be. He performs all the duties that a Kshatriya should. And actually, Krishna's lilas and all of his exchanges are all ideal. You know, in the sense that one can learn from each of those lilas if one understands, it gets a good philosophical basis. So yeah, Lord Ram came as Maryada Purushottam, but Shri Krishna's, you know, life also is full of examples like that, where he performs things. He himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yadi ham na varte am jato karmani tandrita mama vartamana nu vartante manushyaha partha sarvashaha. If I don't act properly, then everybody else, you know, will be astray. Will be led astray. So,
thank you, Prabhu. Oftentimes, we hear from the scriptures that to desire to become one with the Supreme is a type of sense gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that if someone is trying to become free from the restraints of the body, how can we say that they're going for sense gratification?
Well, I mean, wanting relief is also sense gratification of a form. I am suffering, so I will approach the Supreme to remove my suffering. That is also a form of, you know, sense gratification. In the sense, I don't want misery. So that's why I'm approaching the Supreme. The motive is not pure enough. The motive is not that, oh, I want to surrender to Krishna because I want to be of service to him, or I want to have a relationship with him. Rather, it is, I don't want misery, so I'm going to approach you. But if I was happy otherwise, then there was no need for the Supreme. Isn't it? So you see that? So it's a form, it's a subtle form of sense gratification. Lack of misery is the motive, not love of God, love of Godhead. So that's why becoming one, you know, with the Supreme, you know, could be considered a form of sense gratification.
Hare Krishna. In your lecture, you mentioned that Lord Sri Krishna resides in all of us, and all our actions are performed from his permission, approval, anumanta, that sort of. Now, if that is so, then what is karma?
What is karma? See, the meaning, the word karma has two meanings, maybe three, maybe four. But we'll talk about two primary meanings. One is action that's driven by my free will right now. Okay, I have a free will, my near free will, because Krishna is completely independent, Swarat. So he is fully independent, so I have some minor free will. Now let's say I want to rob a bank, You know, that's my free will. Now I'm creating an action. Now Krishna, he's the Anumanta. Well, how is he going to give me permission to rob a bank? You know. So that karma, you know, is a very complicated thing. Okay, because maybe when you're robbing the bank, the person who's being robbed had it coming to him. And you are the agent, but because you desired a free will, now you're going to reap the action, you know, results of your action. So, karmana api bodhavyam bodhavyam cha vikarmana. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, gahana karmano gatihi. It's very complicated to understand, you know, how karma works. But the main concept is that there is action which is born of free will, depending on what action we do. If it is independent of Krishna, any form, then there's going to be a reaction. Karma, the word karma is also used in that to denote reaction. Okay, so there's action and reaction. So, I forgot your question. What was the question again?
No, in a broader sense, right, everything...
So, if Krishna, if the super soul is running everything, he is giving the permission, so then how are we capable of doing anything? So what happens is we have a desire based on our past reaction, past karma, that decides whether we deserve what we want. We might want to have the lottery. We might want to win the lottery for $1 million. We'll buy the ticket, but Krishna is not going to give us the lottery unless we deserve it. So if we deserve it, he will give it. If we don't deserve it, he will not give it. So that's the way he is the Anumanta. Okay, that's the way he is the Anumanta.
Thank you.
This question.
What is the relation between karma and maya?
Karma and maya. I think there is no direct connection. These are two separate concepts. So, is there a specific reason for the question? Or?
The reason I'm asking is, mm-hmm. Does maya facilitate the actions of karma? Does maya give a fertile environment for karma to act?
Right, so the maya is basically, Krishna explains in the 7th chapter, Daivi hi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantide. So the maya devi is a devotee of Lord Krishna. Okay, and her purpose, which is a really thankless job, not very interesting, good job to have, her purpose is to lead the living entities astray, to provide everything that they want to enjoy independently of Krishna. And the spiritual master is the person who says, no, no, this is not good. Get out of maya and worship Krishna. So there is this tug of war. Maya Devi pulls you in one way, Krishna pulls you the other way. So Maya Devi provides the field, you know, the field of activity where you can do your activities, where you can try to enjoy your little enjoyment. Karma is both the action and the consequence, you know, like I explained, that is occurring in this field, born after our own free will and our past actions. Is that it?
Does the Krishna factor help the devotees with the karma or maya?
Krishna is always there, right? Krishna has entered, is inside of us, Paramatma. So if we have the desire, I want to get out of this maya, okay, or I want to worship you, or I want to connect with you. I have forgotten my relationship, I'm suffering, I'm miserable, I understand that. Now I want to surrender. Then the Paramatma inside will respond. Just like he responds when we say, I want to rob a bank, in the same way he'll respond when we say, I want to worship Krishna, connect to Krishna. Because he's Upadrashta Anumanta. So he's witnessing our desires. Every second, whatever desires we have, he's witnessing. And then he's sanctioning according to what we deserve. But if we express a desire, I want to worship you. And there are so many examples in ISKCON. Where devotees, this example of an air hostess, if I remember this correctly. Prabhupada was on this plane and he was eating peanuts. The air hostess came by, oh, that looks good. She picks up a peanut, puts it in the mouth and goes away. And years later, that one encounter was enough. They found out she had become a devotee. This chance encounter. So how do you explain this completely disconnected random event? It's Paramatma, you know, inside, that's giving the impetus, is helping along. Thank you very much. So we'll close. Srila Prabhupada ki Nitai Gaur Premanande.